It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Murnau with KRWG News. Student parents, especially single moms and parents of color, face economic insecurity and child care shortages as the new school year begins. More from Lily Bulkey at the Texas News Service.
Student parents have some major considerations as the new school year begins, from closed childcare centers to nationwide computer shortages and limited broadband access in some areas. The pandemic has exacerbated the challenges. Christina Guajardo is a resident at the Jeremiah program in Austin, which provides lower-income single moms with safe and affordable housing and childcare. With her two-year-old son's daycare closed, she's a full-time parent taking online classes at Texas State University, and her senior year just started.
I'm not fully present with my classes. I'm not fully present with him. And it's just a matter of trying to juggle it all. And at the end of the day, I'm exhausted.
But Guajardo hopes she's setting a good example for her son, for resiliency and how to overcome obstacles in difficult times. About one in four Texas undergraduates is also a parent. Student parents, especially single mothers and Black parents, tend to have more student debt and less financial security than their peers who don't have children. And Marissa Phillips with Buckner Children and Family Services in Lufkin says there are support gaps that institutions aren't filling or even aware of.
It is rare at this point that schools even track or know exactly how many of their students are parenting students.
Phillips says more campuses are bringing on designated staff to help support student parents with their financial and childcare plans, textbook loans, and other needs. But it's a work in progress. Childcare centers on college campuses have been gradually closing over the last decade. With so many families together at home, Guajardo notes more people now understand the challenges of working and watching the kids simultaneously.
You know, before that was something that maybe people weren't aware of, but for a lot of moms in poverty and a lot of single moms in particular, that's our reality. That's our everyday.
She hopes this will lead to better quality and more affordable childcare options beyond the pandemic. For Texas News Service, I'm Lily Bulkey.
Let's go now to a local viewpoint. Polls show New Mexico's 2nd District Congressional race is too close to call. Some thoughts on the seat and the incumbent from commentator Walt Rubel.
In 2002, Steve Pierce beat John Arthur Smith in what I believe was the most important election in southern New Mexico in the last two decades. The seat in Congress that both men were running for was open for the first time since 1980. That was the year Harold Runnels died 3 months before the election. Runnels was so firmly entrenched that Republicans hadn't even planned to contest him. Joe Skeen launched a write-in campaign to win the seat, then went on to hold it for the next 11 terms. Runnels, a Democrat, and Skeen, a Republican, combined to hold the seat from 1970 until that election in 2002. It seemed clear that voters in the district were more loyal to the person than the party. I figured whoever won that year would be able to settle in. Pierce served for 8 terms and would probably still be the incumbent today if not for his ambition for other offices. With a win this year, Democrat Xochitl Torres-Small may be able to settle in. Torres-Small defeated Yvette Harrell as part of the Blue Wave election in 2018, when Democrats flipped 41 seats in the House. This year's election will be a rematch. Both Torres-Small and Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden are now facing the same accusation. They might not be radical socialists, but they're under the control of more powerful forces in the Democratic Party who are. Which is probably why you can't turn on your TV set these days without seeing a commercial of Torres-Small shooting up the desert, in an environmentally responsible way, I'm sure, to demonstrate her support for gun rights. Or crawling across an oil rig to demonstrate her support for fracking. I'm not suggesting that these commercials are disingenuous. They're not. But like all political ads, they're incomplete. Yes, you oppose a ban on fracking, but what about produced water? And climate change? Yes, you support gun rights, but what about bump stocks? Torres-Small's voting record her first term was that of a centrist. That's probably best reflected by her split votes on the 2 gun safety bills passed by the House and stalled in the Senate. She voted for the bill to require background checks for weapon sales online and at gun shows, but was one of seven Democrats to vote against a bill that would have expanded the time allowed for background checks from 3 days to 10. For many Democrats who worked hard to help Torres Small get elected, that vote was disappointing. And the split vote did nothing to win support from Republicans or the NRA, which has given her a D rating. Political extremists promise instant results and dramatic change, which is why they are so much more exciting, but only for one side. Centrists can be frustrating for both sides. I suppose that's the whole idea. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel.
While Rubel's columns appear in the local viewpoint section at krwg.org, Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG Public Media or NMSU.